Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you're doing well. We need to have a talk. We need to have a talk about consistency versus perfection and about feeling triggered when other people share what they're doing, projecting it onto yourself, making comparative judgments, and letting that get in your head and get you out of the game. Here's kind of what happened. And then I want to tell you what we're giving away today and all that good stuff. But last weekend, I sent out an email. I had done an episode several weeks ago, 30-day update on some changes that I made to my consistency process related to my goal of losing the weight that I gained in my pregnancies. 30-day update. I had lost just over 10 pounds in the first 30 days, which felt like a huge win to me. And then I realized I hadn't given you guys a 60-day update. So I sent that out via email last weekend. And I shared what my daily action items are. And I shared my consistency over the 60 days, because I really feel like a lot of people seek to make a big degree of change, but they don't have enough consistency. And what I really work on in my own life and with my clients is a smaller degree of change with a greater degree of consistency. And I was sharing how that's been producing what to me feels like really remarkable results. I think I was down about 22 pounds in the 60 days, which is huge, because prior to that, I had really been struggling to lose the weight that I gained in pregnancy. And I shared that, you know, when I was pumping for the twins, because they were in the NICU for over 3 months, and even when they got out of the NICU, they had trouble nursing. And so I was pumping literally around the clock, not just for one baby, but for two. The amount of energy that requires was huge. And I was like, well, I'm sure that in pumping for two kids and then, of course, just keeping up with life, the weight's going to fall off. And it didn't. The first 10 pounds didn't really take a whole lot. They came off slowly, but without a tremendous amount of like effort or consistency, or there wasn't a concerted effort to lose those first 10 pounds. And maybe over 4 or 5 months, I lost 10 pounds. And then it just felt like my body wasn't responding. And I didn't do much about it at first. I felt patient with the process. And also, I didn't have a lot of energy and effort going towards weight loss. And then things shifted, and I got tired of being heavier than I want to be. And I got tired of feeling low energy. And, you know, it's not, being overweight in your 40s doesn't feel the same as being overweight in your 20s. And what I mean by that is workouts felt harder. My joints felt the impact of carrying extra weight. I want to be a great role model for my kids. And so I just got to the point where I was willing to make some changes. All right. And so I wanted to be very transparent. These are the specific changes. And this is what consistency looked like. Because I think when a lot of people talk about what they do for weight loss, they don't talk about how frequently they deviate from that. And so a lot of people feel this sense of like, well, but I can't be perfect, right? And there's a lot of conflation between this idea of consistency and perfection. Well, I sent out the email just trying to be an open book. And most people were like, oh my gosh, thank you. This is so helpful. I love the specificity. It's just like super valuable to me. But then there were a couple of responses that, I don't know, part of me wants to say they caught me off guard. I am always surprised when people are rude, because I just, like, if you could be kind, why would you be rude? And one person was not rude at all. They were just like, hey, you used to be about moderation and now you're about perfection and I don't really get it. And so I want to talk about the difference between consistency and perfection, because I don't even believe in perfection, never mind pursue it in my own life. So there's obviously a misunderstanding there that I want to clear up. And then the other message was basically like, this was so triggering and you used to have wiggle room in your thought processes and now you have no wiggle room. And I mean, I know how I think, and I know there's a ton of wiggle room. So I wanted to address that, and I do think it's an incredible opportunity to differentiate between consistency and perfection, but also talk about comparison and how that can be a real roadblock to progress. But before we get into that even more than we already have, I want to let you know that I am giving away today Fit 20. Fit 20 is a protein powder. It's not one that I've talked about before because I've always used GBX Fit. And I still use it. I still love it. I still have it. But Amari is reformulating GBX. It's not GBX Fit. I'm sorry. GBX Protein. Amari is reformulating GBX Protein. So if you haven't stocked up, definitely do so. I have stocked up, but they do have another protein from a merger that they had with another company called Kayani. And there's a protein called Fit 20. And I got it knowing that they were going to be reformulating GBX. I love it. My kids also love it. Guys, parenting hack, sort of sidebar here. I have 2-year-olds and I have 1-year-old twins. Sometimes my 2-year-old in this phase, he doesn't want to eat anything other than blueberries, right? Like if he could just have blueberries and nothing else. And I always want to get protein in him. I know the blood sugar instability comes with toddler tantrums and more fussing. So getting enough protein in him is always a priority for me. It's not that there's anything wrong with blueberries, but they will absolutely put him on a blood sugar roller coaster, or anybody, if there's not fat, if there's not protein. I can always convince him to have a milkshake, which all I do is this Fit 20 and milk, and I shake it up and he's obsessed with it. It's super clean, 20 grams of protein. It's a whey isolate. It's got just 5 grams of carbs over that 20 grams of protein, only 1 gram of sugar. So I really love it. I'm going to give it away at the end of the show. I'll also link it up in the show description along with a coupon code. The way that I select winners, so you're absolutely eligible to win. You're eligible to win as many times as you participate. Just leave a review of the show on whatever platform that you listen on. Even if you left a review before, you can leave a review that's episode specific. If you listened to an episode yesterday, you really loved it, you can leave a review. I get email notifications when those review comes in, and I put them in a spreadsheet and draw at random when we do giveaways. So I'll announce that at the end of the show. So I shared in this email my action items that I committed to. A couple of them are nutrition based, a couple of them are movement based, a couple of them are lifestyle based. You know, I'm just going to share them with you for folks that didn't get the email. If you are not on my email list, no sweat, just message me, DM me on Instagram, include your email address, and I would be more than happy to get you on my email list. But I want to make sure that everybody kind of knows what we are talking about here. So let me pull up the email. I wanted to just be a completely open book. I talk a lot about nutrition strategy, and nobody is going to do everything, right? I don't even do everything every day. So I thought that it would just be helpful for anybody who has a weight loss goal or is just curious and passionate about it to see. So mine are no sugar, adhering to the golden rules of carbs and fat loss, which I talk about in episodes 195 and 1161. 10 to 15,000 steps a day. For the first 30 days, it was 10,000. But because I walk while I work, I bumped it up to 15,000 for the second 30 days. So 10 to 15,000 steps per day. 4 strength training workouts a week. I do strong foundations. And then the 2 lifestyle ones, write my goals by hand every day. So not typing them out, writing them down. And then sauna and infrared. And actually, there's also a protein goal, at least 130 grams of protein a day. And then I thought it would be very just open book to share what consistency looked like for me. So on the 130 grams of protein, I missed 3 or 4 days, all because I had the stomach flu and I wasn't eating anything at all. So 3 or 4 days out of 60, but it wasn't like that I just was eating pizza, right? Golden rules, I didn't miss any days because even on those days I had the stomach flu, I was adhering to the golden rules. No sugar, I didn't miss any days. The steps, I missed 4 days out of the 60. And the reasons being I One was because of the flu, and three were when I was at my mom's with the kids, and my husband was here doing the floors, so I just didn't have anybody to be with the kids while I went for a walk, and I wasn't working on those days, and it was much too cold for me to take the kids with me. So missed that, and then I didn't miss any days of writing my goals by hand. I didn't miss any of the four workouts per week. And then the sauna and infrared light, I missed 6 out of the 60 days. A couple of those days because we were away for a wedding. And a couple of those days were when I was staying at my mom's with the kids. Again, the reason behind sharing that was just to say this is what's working for me. And I lost 22 pounds in the first 60 days. The results are continuing. In a few weeks from now, I'll do a 90-day update. I just haven't put it together yet, but it's on my list of things to do. A lot of people were super appreciative of the inside look and the details. And then there were a couple people who had different responses that I think are absolutely positively worth talking about. One person said, Elizabeth, you've always been a voice of moderation and consistency, but it feels like this has crossed the line and this feels really perfectionist and I can't relate to that. What I really want to break down about this is it's not perfectionist and why it's not perfectionist and what is the difference between, hey, Elizabeth, you were consistent and that's a degree of consistency that feels out of reach for me, or I couldn't or wouldn't want to be consistent with those specific things, but hey, I could be more consistent with these specific things. Before I talk about that though, here's the other side of this. Why wasn't I doing this 6 months ago? Why am I here? The twins are over 18 months old and I'm still carrying the pregnancy weight. Why didn't I do this within the first few months after the twins were born? Because I wasn't ready. Right? My approach then was more indulgent and it did have more variability in the day to day. I did indulge more often because I didn't want to do more at that point. I was walking less. I was lifting less. I was eating more starch. I was indulging more regularly. Was that wrong? No. Is this way wrong? No. Was that way extreme? Extreme is relative. Is this way extreme? Doesn't feel extreme to me. And that's kind of what matters. Is it extreme to the person that is doing it? Right? But here's the thing. I was losing weight very, very slowly and some months not at all before I made these shifts. And that was fine. Right? I didn't feel like I was being unhealthy, but I certainly could have been more healthy, right? I think most of us can relate to that. I wasn't doing anything egregious. I wasn't binging. I wasn't drinking too much. I wasn't sitting on the couch watching hours of TV. And I would have eventually got there, but it might have taken me 20 years. But then I got tired of it. Yes, I was indulging more often, maybe 2 to 3 times a month. I wasn't as consistent with the golden rules. I wasn't working out 4 times a week. I wasn't walking as much as I'm walking now. And I wasn't eating as much protein. But then I got to a point where I wanted to feel better. And I was tired of feeling just okay. I didn't feel good in my clothes. You know, I said this a few minutes ago, but it's just so true. Being overweight in your 20s feels different than being overweight in your 40s. And I have a much greater need for energy now and a much greater desire for energy now because I have 1-year-old twins and a 2-year-old. And I run a business and I'm a work from home, stay at home mom. I got tired of just doing okay. That doesn't mean that you're not tired of just doing okay. You might be very okay where you are. You might be content with what you're doing, and that's fine. 6 months ago, I was content with what I was doing. I was content with not seeing the weight loss that I would have hoped for. I wasn't willing to kind of get my butt in gear, but then I got to a point where I was ready. And when I got to that point, it gets easier when you're ready. It gets easier to say no. My kids right now are like monsters for graham crackers. And 6 months ago, I would have had some of the graham crackers. I still think they smell good. I actually happen to like graham crackers, but I got to a point where I want to feel good more than I want a graham cracker, right? Even the other night we went on a date night to a comedy show. And it was myself, my husband, and another couple, and they were all drinking, and I could have drank. There's nothing wrong with having a drink, but where I'm personally at is I want to feel good when I wake up in the morning, and I want to make progress more than I want a glass of wine or two. I wasn't there 6 months ago. And I think the feedback that I got from people that are like, oh, this is just perfectionist and unrelatable. Well, maybe you're not there. And that's okay. But it doesn't make me relatable. It just makes me in a place that's a little bit different. I think that there's a lot of people online, whether they're podcasters or they're coaches, and they don't tell the truth about what they're doing because they don't want to get this response of people being like, oh gosh, well, I could never do that. Well, I think you could, but you just might not be ready to now, or you might not want to right now. You might not be at a point in your journey where you have the skills to set yourself up for success. The other thing that's important is this represents, not only have I been trying to get healthy for my entire life, but the last 12 years, I've really invested a lot in changing my behaviors and becoming a better thinker. So this does not feel extreme to me. And just because it feels extreme to you, I think you miss an opportunity to look at how you can apply the same principles separate from doing the same steps, doing the same action items, right? What really catalyzed the change for me was anxiety. I've talked about this before, so I won't go into it too much here, but I had what for me felt like really intense postpartum anxiety. And I think it came up when it did, you know, 12 months after the twins were born-ish, because things started to settle down, right? Dagny died in 2020, and I was in such a fog of grief for a solid year. And Roman was born, right? I found out I was pregnant with Roman less than 6 months from when Dagny was born, not even from when she died. And then I was just in that like caretaking, still very much in a fog of grief. And then Roman was 8 or 9 months old when I found out I was pregnant with the twins. And then the twins were born over 3 months early, and they were critically ill and in the NICU for more than 3 months. And so I feel like around that time, when probably between 9 and 12 months old for them, things started to settle down where I got out of that like survival mode, and it all started to hit me, and my anxiety was crippling. And I am absolutely willing to go without sugar because it makes me less anxious. It doesn't mean that I don't want a cookie. I shared recently that I picked up cookies for my kids after we had been out of the house for a while and we were going back home, and long story short, I got cookies for the kids, and I really wanted one of the cookies, but my anxiety was so bad that having a cookie, like sugar and anxiety are inextricably linked. It is not theoretical. It is truly causal. That doesn't feel extreme for me. Choosing to eat something, even though I know it will give me anxiety that makes me feel crazy, that's extreme. Like, that's extremely stupid for me and where I was. So I just caution anybody who's going to label what somebody is doing, instead of asking questions. hey, what about this? How do you factor in moderation here? And for me, these action items that I shared with you, they do feel moderate. I'm not on some strict keto diet. That would feel more intense for me and unsustainable, right? I'm not on any kind of restrictive, crazy program. The strategies that the action items I selected for myself give me a ton of wiggle room. I enjoyed the heck out of a big plate of sweet potato nachos during the Super Bowl. So extreme is a very dangerous label to put on what somebody else is doing, right? I think coming with questions is a much better way to have an accurate understanding versus going off of the story that you tell yourself about it or the comparison you make between what somebody else is doing and what you are doing. Could I indulge more and still lose weight? Yes. Do I want to sacrifice how good it feels to do it this way so that I can indulge every once in a while? I don't. Right now. If you do, that's cool. You're not going to hear criticism from me about it. It's just not a trade that appeals to me right now. And the other thing is, these are action items for now. One of the things that I'm always talking about with my clients is we reset action items every month. I've continued to choose these because they're working and I feel really great when I execute them with a high degree of consistency. But to any day, today, I could decide, you know what? No sugar isn't a priority anymore. I'm going to do it this way. And that's a very important distinction. When we do the consistency calendar, we're setting daily action items every month. You might roll over some, you might roll over all, you might start fresh. I think the problem comes when we look at what somebody else is doing and we make it about us and we focus on all the reasons that it wouldn't work for us or we couldn't do it, whether that's in business or it's in parenting or it's in marriage or it's nutrition. I want to take a few minutes to differentiate between consistency and perfection. I took myself in establishing my daily action items that reflect my goals and my baseline. I took myself through the same exact process that I take my clients through in the consistency course. I picked daily action items that were sustainable for me, but also represented an improvement, like a mild stretch, things that I am willing to push myself to be consistent with. There are lots of things I'm not willing to do. Some of the things I'm doing, you might not be willing to do. When I teach my clients, I encourage them to start with one. And then after they've gotten comfortable with consistency, they can add. And so some of these things were kind of like gimmies. I was already pretty much doing them. Super minor degree of change, like the sauna and the red light. I love that. I want to do that. That's not a stretch. The greater than 130 grams of protein and the no sugar, those were a little stretch. But I was so willing to do them. Not only because I wanted to lose the weight and I was kind of done coasting, I was just over it, I was ready, but also because I would have given my right arm to get rid of the anxiety. These are things that factor in, and when we just label, oh, you have no wiggle room in your thoughts, wouldn't it be such a better way to say, what about this? What about this? How do you reconcile this and this? Curiosity over labeling is a really powerful practice. You know, there are things that I'm not willing to do. So for me, in this process, we're focusing on something we are willing to do that represents an improvement. It's a mild stretch. We're starting with one that we're willing to push ourselves to be consistent with. I'm not going to run every day. That's not something I'm going to choose. I'm not going to work out daily. I'm not going to do a lot of high intensity interval workouts. I'm not willing to do a ketogenic diet. I'm not willing to do exclusively whole foods, right? I love the convenience of a protein smoothie or, you know, putting some protein powder in Greek yogurt and it feels like dessert for me. I love that. I'm not willing to give up caffeine right now. Maybe I will be at some future point in time, but not right now. So Is there anything wrong with running daily or doing high intensity interval training or ketogenic diets or whole foods only? No, not at all. But I didn't choose them because they're not things that I'm willing to be consistent with over the long term, right? I chose daily standards that I'm willing to be consistent with that represent an incremental improvement for me. And I think that's a big piece of the puzzle that is missed when somebody labels it as extreme. I chose things that are an incremental improvement for me. And I constantly on this show, with almost 10 years on the air, you will literally find every 2 to 3 episodes, I say something like, you got to do what's an improvement for you. Do what's an incremental improvement. Don't make 180 degree of change. It's less sustainable. You can't look at one email I sent and just paint with a broad brush what you want it to mean because it makes you feel better about what you're not willing to do. I just don't think that that's a healthy way to respond. The other thing that's important to note is these are not daily action items that I had 12 years ago when I lost over 130 pounds. I was choosing one fast food breakfast entree instead of two, right? I was taking a spoon and scooping one scoop out of the pint of ice cream before I ate the rest of it. Those were my starting points then, and I don't hide that. I talk about that very regularly. You can probably hear a reference to that every single month over the last almost 10 years. It's not that I'm a perfectionist now. It's that standards evolve over time, and I had a really huge motivator to clean things up. And that was my postpartum anxiety, which I also haven't hidden. And I've also talked about a lot. When you choose daily action items for your goal, whether your goal is building a business or getting out of debt or losing weight or building muscle, they represent a slight improvement, not a 180 degree change. They're things that you know from experience drive results. And if you aren't sure, you don't have that experience, I have recommendations on the podcast, or I walk through a process teaching how to start to identify these things. And I do that in the consistency course. And like I said, I have people start with one. I recommend people start with one. This idea of perfection, I think it's invented. I think it's imagined. But let's say that your idea of perfection is like no off days, 100% on. Well, I wasn't 100% on, right? I had the flu, didn't hit my protein target. I was at my mom's, didn't get my walking in. Here's a big difference between perfection and consistency. A lot of people get messed up with this perfectionist mentality because if they don't do it, they have the I blew it, start over, I failed, what's the point? I ruined all my progress. When I didn't hit my protein target, no drama, no sense of failure, no beating myself up, no sense that now the clock starts over and I have to begin again, not even a sense that I made a mistake. It was no big deal. There was no emotional turmoil. It just happened that I was tracking it because I used the consistency calendar, so I know the numbers. When I didn't hit my steps because I was at my mom's and I didn't have the flexibility to leave the kids and go for a walk and I didn't have the weather conditions to take them, I don't care. It's just onward. I focused on the things that I could do. So using, and I think I've actually talked about this on an episode too, when I was at my mom's for those 4 days and I was like, okay, it's clear that the steps aren't going to happen. And it was also clear that the sauna wasn't going to happen because I couldn't leave the kids at my mom's and drive back to my house and hop in the sauna. It was, well, what can I do? Easy. No sugar. I can hit that target. Protein. I can hit that target. Done. I focused on what I could do. And I also think that that really differentiates between consistency and perfection and goes to show that the goal here is being consistent and perfectionism really doesn't factor in. Doesn't factor in at all. Let's look at the other little bit of feedback. This one says, I just have to tell you, well, there's no hello, no salutation. I just have to tell you that I think your mindset has become very extreme. I've always listened to you, but now I feel like I can't relate to you anymore. Zero sugar, no artificial anything. Sounds great, but I really don't think it's attainable for many people. When did I say no artificial anything? I issued a 1-day challenge free from processed foods. 1 day. Doing that for 1 day is not attainable for many people. I disagree. I don't want to argue people's limitations that way. And zero sugar is not a prescription for you. I will not get to a point where I'm hesitating to share what is working for me because other people take it as a prescription for them. If I have a client on, I had Athena's not a client, but as an example, I had Athena Perez on a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about her journey of losing over 200 pounds. She has another 100 pounds that she wants to lose. I don't have her share so that you take what she says and assume that that's what you should do. I mean, that's just crazy. And if this person says they've listened to me for a long time, or what was it? I've always listened to you. Well, if you've always listened to you, then you know that the no sugar is something I'm doing for my anxiety. How is that not attainable for somebody who's suffering from anxiety? They might not want to, they might not choose to, but are they capable? I absolutely, wholeheartedly, 100% for the rest of my life will argue that they are capable. And not only will I argue that they are capable, I will argue that I will help them. And if I sound defensive, I am. I'm passionate about this. And I see, I've told you guys this before, I'm in masterminds with people who are in similar spaces, who withhold things that they are doing because of these kinds of misunderstandings. And when I read this message to my husband, we haven't even gotten through it, he was like, who cares? Let it go. I will let it go, but I care. And I will address it because I believe that the people who turn off because they make meaning that is not aligned with truth, they are holding themselves back from progress, and it happens all the time. Like, we're talking about two messages here, one which came through very, very respectfully, but confused consistency and perfection, and the other one, not quite as nice. Other people feel this way too, not just about things that I've said or I've done, but a lot of other things, and this is a real issue holding back a lot of people. So after she said she doesn't think no sugar and nothing processed is attainable, which I didn't recommend it for anybody other than the 1 day free from processed food challenge, I do think it's attainable for anybody who wants it. She said, I always thought you were someone who had some wiggle room in your thoughts, but now it's so extremely restrictive and has no room for error. That doesn't even reflect reality, because first of all, I chose things that are not restrictive for me. And I explained that they represent a small degree of improvement for me, and I want you to make changes that represent a small degree of improvement for you. I teach this. I understand if you haven't been through the consistency course that you don't know the method, but it is available to you. And also, no room for error. I literally highlighted and bolded where I missed days. I don't think in any way that reflects no room for error. There's a ton of room for error. I'm a flawed individual. And here's the thing. My no sugar daily action item is not for the rest of my life. It might not even be today. I mean, I have no plan to have sugar today, but my point is, I teach my clients to assess and reevaluate their daily action items monthly, and that, like, for example, 4 workouts a week, that's not an every single day target. For my clients, for some of them, that means like an 18-hour fasting window twice a week. For some, it means one indulgence per week. For some, it means one indulgence per day. I teach choosing things that represent your willingness and a slight push. She said, I'm not trying to be mean, just honest. but it's lacking facts, so I'm not sure it is honest. She said, I couldn't finish listening to your episode. It was so over the top. Okay. I'm not here to force you to listen. For people just getting started with weight loss, I think this would be overwhelming to listen to. I think we could say that of a lot of episodes that I've done, right? But if my filter is, if this was the first episode somebody listened to who wanted to lose weight, might it overwhelm them? If I didn't do any episodes, like I wouldn't talk about microplastics or toxins or, oh my gosh, like anything. I wouldn't talk about strength training. I would, you know what I mean? Like, it's a really narrow filter. If we have what? Almost 1,200, over 1,200 episodes of the podcast, like I think 1,450 or something like that. If I had to say this one could be overwhelming to somebody just started and this one could be overwhelming to someone just starting, I would say all but like 50 episodes could be overwhelming to somebody who's just starting, right? But does that mean that that's bad? No, I think that you would probably be able to say that of just about any book, any podcast, anything. And then lastly, it says, definitely triggered my perfectionist personality. I want to talk a little bit about triggered. First, with the caveat that I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist and I don't play one on the internet. But I am concerned about people who always say that somebody else triggered them. Because if somebody else can trigger you, you don't have control over your emotions and your reactions. And one thing I always want to do for myself, and I want to teach my kids, and I want to help my clients with it, is understanding that we do always have control over our reactions and how we perceive things. Things touch a nerve for me. You might want to call that triggered. And just for the sake of using the language, we can say that. When people message me on Instagram and say something like, oh, don't take for granted a day with your kids. It goes so fast. I feel like it touches a real raw nerve. We can say triggered. It's not because that person did something wrong. It's not because they said anything wrong. It's because inside I make it about the death of my daughter. It's not inherently about the death of my daughter, right? Just like me sharing what I'm doing to lose postpartum weight and control my anxiety isn't about your perfectionism. You made it about that. When somebody says that to me, I want to come back and say, you don't need to say that to somebody who lost a kid. I know to take every day and treat it as sacred and not take a single moment for granted. I know. As a mom who's lost a child, I know. You don't need to tell me. They didn't trigger me, though. The meaning that I make out of what they say and the way I apply it to my unique circumstances and my unique wounds and my unique pain, I did that. I did that. We have a friend, I think I've mentioned this before, who always says, like, you don't know how hard it is. You don't have four kids, because they have, you know, one more kid than we do. And I'm like, actually, we do. One has just died. He didn't trigger me. I took what he said and I interpreted it in a way. I saw it through a lens of my pain. He didn't do it. I did it. The meaning I made, what I made it mean, I did that. Why am I even bothering to talk about this? I think we need to get really curious about why we have a strong reaction to some things. And I think it would behoove all of us, myself included, to slow down and be like, why did that touch a nerve? Having nothing to do with the person, what in my perception of it or what I'm making it mean, why could, to this person who said I triggered her perfectionist personality, why'd you even make it about you? Why couldn't it have just been about Elizabeth's talking about how she's lost weight? The end. Your perfectionist personality is only triggered when you make it about you. You didn't have to do that. You chose to do that. That's not bad, but it's also not on me. It's on you. It's not on what I shared. It's on the meaning you made of what I shared. And that's a very different thing altogether. I'm not saying that your discomfort is bad or wrong, but I'm also saying that it came from your work with the information, not my sharing of it. Especially in this case, because your facts are wrong. And that is very, very common. If I did keto for 60 days, would that be extreme? Says who? To who? Compared to what? If I did whole foods only for 60 days, would that be extreme? If I was doing it because I was sick, would that be extreme? And I bet all of you would say, well, no, if you were doing it because you're sick, like, what is extreme anxiety if not sick? I got to a point where I wanted to be consistent more than I wanted to indulge. I don't think there's anything about what I'm doing that has anything to do with perfectionism. If you label it that way, I think it's a really great opportunity to look at why. Why do I call that perfect? Is it because if I label it as perfect, it's not a standard I have to pursue? What is there in this for me versus what is there in this that I don't like or that I take issue with? Right? Having high energy is more valuable to me than having a cookie every couple weeks. That was not the case 6 months ago or 12 months ago. Are you comparing my whys and my goals and my selected daily action items for now with where you're at and then labeling my approach relative to yours? Again, this represents 40 years of working on my health. This represents 12 years of cleaning up my eating. I eat artificial things. I literally talk about my protein shakes almost every single Saturday. That's not a whole food. It's not a whole food. I have charcuterie boards with my husband. I enjoy the food that I eat. And I teach people to design consistency that isn't miserable for them. If you're choosing things that you don't like that make you miserable, you're not doing it right. And I go to great lengths to teach that approach to my clients. And I just wholeheartedly agree that this isn't attainable for many. Now, your starting point might be very far from where I'm at 12 years in, but if you're listening to this and you feel very far and you would like to get to something that looks more like eating clean most of the time, I don't want anybody to tell you that's not attainable for you. I want you to hear loud and clear. I am a girl who ate melted ice cream sandwiches out of the trash. I binge ate on a regular basis. I was over 350 pounds and I had decades of yo-yo dieting. And if you want to get to a point where consistently clean eating and moving and lifting is your norm and you have enviable consistency, I want you to know it is 100% attainable for you. And I will bend over backwards to help you and support you. And I will rally against anybody who wants to tell you that it is not attainable for you. Not attainable for many? Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Now, some people might not want it. Some people might not choose it. Totally fine. I didn't choose it for a long time. Hell, I didn't choose it 12 months ago. But I'm not gonna just let that go and not give it airtime because I think there are people who believe it is not attainable for them, but they want it. They want to be healthy. They want to be energetic. They want to be vibrant. It is attainable. And not only with this podcast, which is free, but other free resources that I have available and that I'm continuing to create. And then, of course, paid programs that I have. I am committed to helping you if you want it. But I also stand for hearing this podcast over and over and over. Do what's an improvement for you. Focus on what you're willing to do, not on what you're not willing to do. And if somehow somebody is missing that, you're not listening. And you don't have to, but don't come at me with a label put on an email that represents that you haven't listened to a damn thing other than, no, not even what you read, because it did not represent no wiggle room in my thinking, and it did not represent something that is extreme for me. And it doesn't matter if it's extreme for you, because it wasn't a prescription for you. It was me trying to be an open book about what I am doing. I constantly talk about your baseline and what's an improvement for you. Maybe better questions are, hey, are you having cravings for other stuff? How do you handle them? How are you dealing with those? Is this a long-term approach for you? 60 days, okay. Do you feel like this is something you'll do for a year? Or is it something, you know, like, is this a six-month thing that might feel easier for somebody? Is this something that you're going to try and do forever and ever? What does maintenance look like for you? Gosh, how we could grow so much more and probably be less adversarial if we just ask questions. Do you feel like this is extreme? How did you get from where you were eating fast food and binging on a regular basis to this? How are you dealing with moments where you're overtired or you're faced with temptation? Instead of, man, I thought you had wiggle room in your thoughts, but you don't. Or even if you don't include me and you don't ask me any questions, ask yourself, what is this telling me about what I want? Or what is it telling me about what I don't want? What is it telling me about what I'm ready for or what I'm not ready for? Is there something in this that can serve me, help me, support me? Consistency and perfection are not the same thing. And consistency is going to look different for everybody. It's a skill. If you were to look at the consistency course, I think we have like, I don't know, 275 people, we'll call it, maybe 280 people in the consistency course right now. I promise you, everybody's daily action items are different. Now, there are probably some people who have the same ones or similar ones, but if somebody has two and somebody else has three and somebody else has four and somebody else has one, there's probably not anybody of those 275-ish people who all of their daily action items are the same. Consistency looks different for everybody because it's based on your goal. It's based on your starting point or your current baseline. It's based on your willingness to change. My willingness to change was a lot lower a year ago. But I want to feel great. And I literally was willing to do just about anything because the anxiety was really impacting my quality of life and my happiness. If you want to learn the process of creating your own consistency and building it out in a way that is sustainable for you, but also represents a slight reach out of your comfort zone, that is what we do in the consistency course. Not only is there a process and a shit ton of resources, I also do live coaching in there anytime there's a question, and also we go live together as a group twice a month. If you don't really understand the difference between consistency and perfection, if you're where I was maybe 6 months ago, where you're doing okay, not terrible, but you're also not seeing the results that you want, you might need that skill of consistency. I'm going to link up the consistency course in the show description if you want to learn more about it. Again, I'm human. I get defensive when I hear messages that totally misrepresent who I am and what I do and the purpose of sharing, who compare things that don't need to be compared that way. Like, there's not value in comparing them that way. And certainly, I'm going to speak up when somebody says that being consistent with eating protein and walking and following the golden rules and not having sugar is not attainable. It might not be what you choose, but for sure it's attainable for anybody, not just many people, anybody. And I'm passionate about helping you get there. Beyond passionate. This stuff keeps me up at night. I want to help you break free. And messages like that, it's not attainable for many people. Messages like that convince people that it's not possible for them. And I just won't co-sign on that. Just won't. Won't even apologize for being defensive about it. And now I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to go coach in strong foundations and love on my babies and keep doing the consistency that works for me, that feels good for me, that is sustainable for me and has zero to do with perfection. And here's the thing, I'm going to keep sharing it, even if it means getting messages that are misunderstanding me or aggressive, because I just don't want to be the kind of person who holds back what is working for me because of the uncomfortable conversations that it can bring up, or the judgment or the labeling or anything. I'm just going to keep doing it. So you can rest assured that I'm going to get my stuff organized, and there'll be a 90-day update airing within the next few weeks. I've got a bunch of episodes planned between now and then, but it is I have started putting together the information to do that update as well. So I'm going to keep on sharing it. And I genuinely do welcome you guys coming to me with any misunderstandings, but I think that there's just a lot more room for our own growth and improvement when we come with curiosity instead of coming with labels and assumptions. Just my two cents. I need to give away the Fit 20, and I'm going to link it up in the show description. The winner is Sherry96. Sherry96, email me, elizabeth@primalpotential.com. Email me within 60 days of this episode airing. Let me know that you were the winner for 1170. And in that email, please include your mailing address because I will ship it out to you no matter where in the world you live. You guys are eligible to win whatever it is that I give away, usually every Saturday, just by leaving a review of this podcast on whatever platform you listen. And I appreciate you guys sticking with me through this episode. I think it's a really important one. And I'll see you guys tomorrow.